Shri S. R. Tikekar is a well-known freelance journalist, author of several books in English and Marathi, and a literary critic. He is a keen student of Gandhian philosophy and has recently compiled a book of epigrams from the writings of Mahatma Gandhi. As a special correspondent of the Marathi periodical Kesari, he was privileged to be amongst the 79 volunteers who accompanied Gandhiji on his Dandi March in 1930. He will give his reminiscences of this historical event.
My experience of the Dandi March is quite fresh in my mind, because we were walking all the distance and Gandhiji was almost daily inquiring whether we were faring well, whether we were keeping well in the march over the dusty roads and over the village population. It was very kind of Gandhiji to have allowed me to be in the camp, because that solved our problems of boarding and lodging. I was actually one of the volunteers, so that we could be very free with Gandhiji, and we watched most of his movements very closely, and we could hear him whenever he spoke during the prayer meetings or even when he was having a leisurely time. My first impression, which surprised me most, was about the limited scope of Swadeshi which Gandhiji practiced. At Anand, when we were given soaps for washing our clothes in the camp, I came across Sunlight soap, and I went and complained to Gandhiji that this was not the way of practicing Swadeshi. In Maharashtra, I was particularly accustomed to have Swadeshi in a wider sense. It was not only confined to cloth alone, but it was confined to stationery, writing materials, soaps and other things. But Gandhiji told me in the course of the conversation that for the present he had confined his Swadeshi to cloth only. Later on, during the walk, we used to have many occasions to find out what Gandhiji was wanting. Whenever he inquired of me whether I had fountain pen ink or new envelopes for writing letters, every time I prefaced my reply by saying that I have the Swadeshi papers, Swadeshi envelopes, Swadeshi fountain pen ink and Swadeshi soaps. But he was surprised that all these Swadeshi things were available, and there were at least some people who were following that. Once in a lecture, Gandhiji was struck to find out whether there were Swadeshi lamps, hurricane lanterns, kerosene lamps like that. And he passed on a slip during the course of his talk whether there were Swadeshi hurricane lanterns available. I immediately wrote back on the piece of the paper that Prabhakar lamps made at Oglewadi were available, and they were very good hurricane lanterns. The Dandi March was organized to concentrate public opinion on the availability of natural salt on the seashore. The whole idea was that government of India had imposed a salt tax, which, according to Gandhiji's way of thinking, was bearing on everyone, and the poorest also had to pay it. Gandhiji's own thinking was that salt, like water and air, ought to be free. Therefore, he chose this law for breaking and for getting it changed through any means. On the way, what we used to do was, we halted at a place during the day around about 11 o'clock, walking on an average 10 to 12 miles in two batches. That is to say, in the early morning we left a place, halted for food at about 11 o'clock, then started round about 4 o'clock and reached another halting place at where we camped for the night in the evening. Thus, in 25 days, we covered nearly 240 miles. The whole idea was that while walking through the villages, all the villages from around about used to gather to have an idea as to what this Gandhi Sena, Gandhi troop, Gandhi marchers were wanting to do. And the awakening that was resulting out of such a walk from village to village was unknown before. And everyone thought that Gandhiji's was a brilliant idea. Throughout the march, the government activity was kept quite aloof. For the first few days, it was ignored. Nobody from the government, no police party or inspector or CID came to see what Gandhiji was doing or what type of lectures being delivered. That sort of thing, I suppose, made Gandhi uneasy. He never thought that he would be allowed to complete his Dandi march, to walk these 240 miles. He expected arrest on the day when he started. He expected arrest twice in the during the interval. And every time when he thought he was being ignored, I think his speech became more and more desperate, and he used very strong language, as if Kaur should be done away with. And that was a very great step which Gandhiji would not allow.
Sri S. R. Tikekar was imprisoned in the Yarwada jail in Pune in 1932 for his leading role in organizing the non-cooperation movement in Bombay on behalf of the Bombay City Congress Committee. Mahatma Gandhi was already in detention in the Yarwada jail at the time. Sri Tikekar recalls his conversations with Gandhiji while they were in jail together.
It was the practice in Yarwada jail to take two or three representative convicts from each barrack to meet Gandhiji once or twice a month, according to Gandhi's convenience. Once it so happened that I happened to be a representative of circle number 3, barrack number 2. And when I went to see Gandhiji, the Inspector General, who was present, warned us not to ask any questions or any complaints about the jail administration. Yet, Gandhiji was quite clear that he too did not want to discuss the day-to-day complaints or grievances in jail life. But he was prepared to discuss with us any serious points or any clarification of the principles of Satyagraha or any other problem that we asked him. My questions to him were very simple. I said first, "Bapuji, my difficulty is arriving at truth. What do I do when someone from my barrack is being harassed by the jail authorities? If there is some incident and if I am asked to say the truth, I am sure my fellow convict, my fellow sufferer will be punished by the jail authorities. If I don't say the truth or if I remain silent, the jail authorities persecute me for telling the truth. Now what is my duty as a Satyagrahi?" Gandhiji liked the question very much, and he said very, very, very clearly, without any hesitation, that as a Satyagrahi, your duty is to suffer more. Whether it is for you or for others, it does not matter. But the other question I asked was about jail restrictions and the rights of a convict. According to the jail rules, a convict gets a certain amount of ration and a certain amount of vegetables are allowed to him. But if that was not there, does one ask for it or does one fight with jail authorities for getting the due ration? And this question Gandhiji answered in the same way, that as a satyagrahi, the duty is more to suffer. Therefore, there is no fight for a right in jail discipline as far as the satyagrahi was concerned. This was very surprising that Gandhiji should not allow us to fight for any simple rights. In the first place, even in the jail routine, there are very few rights for a satyagrahi or for a convict. And they too were to be accepted at the mercy of the jail authorities. The other thing about Gandhiji in jail life was, he did not want anyone to undergo a fast for any purpose. He himself reserved the right to decide whether he should go on a fast or not. But he did not allow anyone else to undertake a fast. And when there was a fast by some 8 or 10 convicts in our barrack, Gandhiji had called me and asked me to persuade the fasting satyagrahis to give up their fast. Gandhiji's insistence was very clear that the technique of satyagraha being evolved by him, he alone was the judge whether a fast was right or not.
In his capacity as a correspondent for the two journals, Kesari of Pune and Hindu of Madras, Sri S.R. Tikekar visited Iraq and Iran in 1929 and Burma during 1930 and 1931. To study the conditions of Indians living there and the social reform movement amongst them. He gives his impressions of these two visits with particular reference to the relations of India with the local